Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Have you ever watched like a Squid Game in Netflix?
Yes.
And do you remember, you know, when the player make mistake or penalty foul, they immediately they go killed in the Squid Game.
Right.
Like this is in how the Japanese people feel. You should not bring biryani to like a council like the Japanese cultures. But usually I'm so silent. I never talk because I'm Japanese. The Japanese are so quiet.
I hear, yes.
And some people think, you know, Japanese doesn't have any like emotions.
So do you see yourself as an informal diplomat for Japanese culture? Japan is a country that is known for its deep connection with tradition. Much of its rich culture comes from its adherence to two religious beliefs, Shintoism and Buddhism, but it also has been influenced by Chinese Confucianism. The Japanese value purity and cleanliness. Unlike Western individualism, Japanese culture places a great deal of attention on the group and mutual respect for, and strong emphasis on harmony and balance. Although globalization has brought with it westernization, there is still a great emphasis on learning Japanese customs at an early age, such as practicing the tea ceremony, wearing the kimono, and studying arts and crafts. My guest today, Dr. Naoki Yamamoto, converted to Islam 14 years ago. He is now an academic at Istanbul's Marmara University and helps a growing number of Japanese converts acclimatize to their Islamic commitments, many of whom attend classes in this city of Istanbul. Dr. Naoki argues that for Islam to be successful in Japan, it needs to work in harmony with Japanese culture. Indeed, he is known in Istanbul for demonstrating the tea ceremony. Today, I want to discuss Muslim converts in Japan and the themes he raises of cultural harmony and Islam. Can Islam adopt the cultural heritage of Japan? Dr. Naoki Yamamoto, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and it's a pleasure to have you with us on The Thinking Muslim.
Wa alaikum salam, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I've been thinking to invite you for some time, and I know you've brought with you a lot of artifacts, cultural artifacts, and alhamdulillah, you've changed.
I brought my toys.
You've brought some Zen maybe to my studio here. So we really are going to talk about culture today, and maybe zoom out and think about how culture fits in to Islam and the way we as Muslims view the world around us. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Naoki, when I meet a Japanese person, I think, according to Japanese culture, I'm not meant to shake their hands or make any physical contact. But Muslims, as you know, shake hands. Muslims, they hug. Some Muslims, Arab Muslims, they kiss you as well, which I find sometimes a bit uncomfortable. How does a Japanese convert navigate these different cultures?
To be honest, like, let me start from my own experiences.
Yeah.
For example, I became Muslim like 14 years ago.
Yes.
And I became Muslim in Egypt. And I went to in Cairo to study like standard like Arabic. So I studied in Arabic like a language school.
Yeah.
At the time, I was a non-Muslim. But the everywhere I walked, like street on the like Zamalek or like a Gamal Hussein or every like a street. And for example, when I entered a restaurant, you know, they always like welcome me, like Ya Habibi, Ya Habibi, and they all hug me. But I still remember, you know, the warmth that you know when they hug. And of course, like this, I don't know, how can I say, like this physical
contact, physical contact
might be really like, new to like a Japanese, but I can definitely say that now, like, especially Japanese youth, like, they're really, like, struggling and suffering from, like, loneliness. You know, right. They feel some, like, attachment.
Yeah.
And it may be very strange to them, but also it has, like, really, like, beautiful impact. Really? Because I still remember, you know, the warmth that, you know, they hug me, they walk in, they shake hands with me.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, this, like, hugging might be, like, more, like, inspiring than just, like, talking about Islam or, like, arguing about Islam or improving Islam in, like, words. And, you know, I'm also, like, becoming old. I'm 33 years old, and I also, like, become an old man. And, you know, when you get aged, like, it's really difficult to adapt to different cultures.
Yes.
Like, for example, now I live in Turkey for, like, 5 years. And I can say that every day, you know, I encounter, like, something different from Japanese culture.
Yeah.
But especially for the young people, you know, they are adaptable. You know, they are more open towards the different cultures. Yeah. For example, now the six, like, non-Muslim, like Japanese students are studying like a Turkish language at the Ibn Khaldun University for the intensive like a Turkish language like summer school. But they're really enjoying in Turkey, like living in Istanbul.
Yes.
And some of them, they're really open to the like, Turkish cultures. And they're always like going out Istanbul and just traveling. So yes, like there are so many differences, but we also must know that we should not like orientalize like ourselves. It means like, you know, that in the end, this is just a cultural difference.
Yes. That's very interesting. And so you've talked there about a Japanese exchange. There are students here who are Muslims. They become Muslims and they're learning. They're non-Muslims?
Which one?
The students at Ibn Khaldun who have come for the summer course.
Oh, they are like non-Muslim.
Yeah.
But I also have like my Japanese like Muslim students.
Yes.
Like two of them are studying at Ibn Khaldun.
Yeah.
And another one, they're studying at the Turkish language schools.
Yeah.
And another two Japanese Muslim will also come to Istanbul.
Really?
To study like Islamic studies.
Okay.
Yes. And there are also, and one of the beautiful things about Istanbul is that this Istanbul city itself, It has a beautiful like a cultures.
Yes.
Like it means like, you know, you can feel that Islam is not about words. Islam is not about ideologies. Like Islam is in how you live.
Yes.
Because like, I myself is also like a minority Muslim, so I live in Japan.
Yes.
And maybe like, you know better, but living Muslim in a non-Muslim country is tough. Like,
yes.
Sometimes it's really challenging.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to encounter like kind of like uncomfortable questions or something you have to prepare every day, like every morning when you wake up, that you have to be ready. That when you go to the schools or universities or the company, that somebody that you have to expect, you have to ready that somebody like ask you uncomfortable questions or something you have to argue with that.
Yeah.
But not everyone is like, you know, the super genius. Like we are not like a Ghazali.
Yes.
And sometimes you fail to, you know, argue some things. Yeah. And something you, and the time you feel so lonely. And you think that we think that we are the failure,
right?
But in Istanbul, at least, you know, there's another Japanese like brother who recently came to Istanbul, and he said to me that in Istanbul, that you feel that you belong to this community,
right?
You belong to these people,
yeah.
And this is, you know, one of the beautiful things about like living in Istanbul, and especially like for the like new like Japanese Muslim converts, that in order not to see Islam as just like, you know, the fix, I don't know, like internet like package that you can download and install or something.
Yes.
Like I want my Japanese students to know that Islam is like a way of living. And this like a way of living means that, you know, Islam is not about like becoming like something like perfect like a Muslim.
Mm.
But, you know, this is try and error. You know, this, you know, this the journey of like making mistakes or like trying to correct ourselves and trying to guiding ourselves, you know, to the, you know, hageka or the hug. You know, the whole process is like a beautiful journey. And to something, you know, Turkey is really like a good country that which, you know, give us, you know, this opportunity to contemplate, you know, the what are the Muslim, what does it mean to be Muslims, yes, and what does it mean to like seek the Islam.
You talked there about the potential friction that may exist when someone becomes a Muslim in Japan. You became a Muslim 14 years ago. So just explain that potential friction. What type of questions and what type of atmosphere was created around you and your family when you became Muslim?
To be honest, like personally, I didn't encounter like any like discriminations or like challenges among my I know like social
immediate group
circle.
Yeah,
but I heard some stories that, you know, that when they become Muslim, some people, you know, ask them that, oh, you become. Some people saying to them that, oh, you become like a terrorist or. And also, like in Japanese society, you know, drinking alcohol is like really important to socialize.
Okay.
Like, you know, the drinking alcohol means that to showing like, you know, like love towards others. And it's really difficult to, you know, turn down, you know, invitation to like a drinking party.
Yes.
And when you cannot like attend, you know, this like, we call nomikai, I mean like drinking party. That it's really difficult to like make friends. And I heard some stories like, you know, that there are some Japanese Muslims who are struggling. The suffering that, you know, they lose the human friends or like, you know, the relationship they had before they become Muslim, and they have to like rebuild themselves. Well, another like challenges I heard from my friends is that, for example, like when like Muslim like children try to practice some like Japanese like cultures like karate. Mm. Or the Japanese tea ceremony, like in the Muslim like parents or the family, they are a little bit afraid that they are engaging with so-called like a non-Muslim like a cultures,
right?
Or like in the, something they call like the infidel like cultures.
Ah,
For example, I also encountered like similar like things. I think it was like summer festival something. You know, I wear like a Japanese kimono like this.
Yes.
And the one like Japanese Muslim brother, like he didn't have bad intention, but he innocently asked me that, why are you wearing the infidel like clothes
in Japan?
Yes, in Japan.
He was a Japanese,
not Japanese, but still, I don't remember his nationalities. But at the time, I was really shocked because I never thought that, you know, this Japanese cultures or like clothes or practice is something called like infidel like cultures.
Yes,
At the time, you know, I was still like a new Muslim, so you know, I was really ashamed of myself.
Yeah,
that it seems like, you know, I am the inheritor of this like infidel like culture.
So, was there an expectation that you had to dispense with all of Japanese culture to become a true Muslim?
Yes. Because like some like, you know, Muslim friends like asked me that, you know, I need to like be more like a pure like a Muslim.
Ah.
But here, like in usually this the pure means like, you know, the like discard. Like Japanese culture and embrace like Arab Islamic cultures or like Pakistani Islamic cultures or Indonesian like Islamic cultures, which is like good. And, you know, they're all like beautiful like Islamic cultures.
Yes.
But now 14 years has passed like since I became Muslim.
Yes.
You know, I have started to think that, you know, there's a meaning that I was born and raised as a Japanese, and also I chose the way of Islam, and now I become like a Japanese, like Muslim, like a convert.
Mm-hmm.
And I read in one article, which is written by the Sheikh Umar Farooq Abdullah, which is the Islam and Cultural Imperative.
Mm-hmm.
And in the introduction of this article, he argued that, you know, Islam itself is like colorless. It's like a life-giving like force. It's like water.
Yeah.
So it only has like a sweet and like inspiring energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this in the water of Tawheed reflects in, you know, the color of the indigenous like a soil.
Right.
So it means like when Islam like reached to the like Persia, that it reflects, you know, Persian like cultures.
Oh.
And when it reached like Turkey, that it created like Anatolian like Islamic cultures.
Mm.
And when it reached the subcontinent, it creates like Pakistani like Islamic cultures or Bengali Islamic cultures.
Really.
And in China is also the same. And Africa, well. Then, like, why not, like, Japanese, like, Islamic cultures? I'm not talking about, like, dogmatic things. Like, dogma is always the same.
Yeah.
But there is, but for example, like when I say about, you know, this Japanese Islamic cultures, like I avoid using like Islamic cultures. Mm. I always use like Islamic cultures, mm. Which I follow in the definition of the definition coined by Marshall Hudson, uh-huh. a famous historian.
Yes, yeah.
In his famous book, you know, Adventure of Islam, he strictly used qualify the definition of what it means like Islamic and what it means like Islamic. And here, according to Marshall Hudson, like Islamic or Islam is only is about religion. Mm. And religion like universal teaching. That whenever right. they go, it's always the same.
Yes.
But this Islamic, it's like it's more like a cultural aspect or like a culture, which is imagined or invented by Muslim, mm. but can be shared by both Muslim and also like a non-Muslim. Mm. So here, like what my so-called Japanese Islamic cultural like a project, mm. like, I'm trying to like design a handicraft or the like a calligraphies or this like tea ceremony project. Like, they all, you know, I want to create something which is strongly like inspired by Islamic spirituality, mm. but I want to create something which can be like practiced or enjoyed by both Muslim and also like a non-Muslim.
So are you trying to Islamize aspects of Japanese culture?
So here, like this, I don't mean to, like Islamize Japanese cultures. I'm trying to find like the beauty of Japanese cultures,
yeah.
and try to create like new creativities.
Mm.
Here, for example, a good example is that this is like a Japanese like tea set,
yes.
Which I use like for my Japanese tea ceremony.
Yes,
and this is called natsume, like a tea container.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, this natsume means tamar, dates.
Yeah,
so. This existence of natsume, this key container itself, shows that, you know, Japanese culture is like open culture because, yes. dates never grow in Japan.
Uh-huh.
This is imported like a fruit,
yeah.
which came to, I don't know, the early like 13th century, 15th century. I don't know exactly the date.
Yeah.
But here, for example, like in this like tea container, that in this tea ceremony, this tea master, they always like bring like a different tea container, which yeah. reflects, you know, the beauty of the every season. Mm. For example, now it's summer.
Mm.
So I bring the tea container, which shows the like beauty of the like young like leaves,
mm.
Like green like
right.
leaves.
Yes.
And another like in the characteristic of this, you know, this the aesthetics of this the Japanese tea ceremony is that they're trying to show the beauty of like simplicity.
Yes.
I mean, this now it is so. not now this table is not the manifestation of simplicity because I don't do many toys, but.
Yeah.
But for example, usually like they prefer to use like this black color.
Uh-huh.
But this the black color is represent, you know, the pure like heart,
yes.
which removed all the destruction of mm. this dunya.
Mm.
And in during this tea ceremony performance, there is a moment that tea master carefully like clean this the tea container.
Mm.
And this is actually like a metaphorical like a performances. Like when you clean this tea container, actually you're cleaning your heart.
Ah.
So this is like an aim of this tea ceremony.
Yes.
So this tea ceremony is not like a superficial like a Starbucks things, like just like having a coffee.
Yes.
Like sipping a coffee for fun.
Yeah.
Like this tea ceremony is actually a spiritual like a training, which is practiced by like a Japanese like artist.
Uh-huh.
Then I call this like a Disney, this imagining Japanese Islamic culture as like a semantic, a process of like semantic reconstruction. It means like when Japanese artists use this tea container or the performances of policing the tea container as a metaphor of the cleaning the heart,
yes.
that we can also bring like a similar like practices in the Islamic cultures and try to like combine it.
Right.
So this, based on this idea, for example, I have started to the design like Islamic like a tea container.
Ah. So this has Arabic calligraphy on it.
Oh, yes. Have you ever visited Bursa?
Yes, I have, yes.
Have you ever visited Ulujami?
Yes, of
you know,
course.
There are lots of Islamic calligraphy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you saw this in the calligraphy in Ulujami.
Yeah, probably so, yes.
This is four-wall like calligraphy.
Ah.
And some Turkish like dervishes, like Sufi master.
Yes.
They interpret this four-wall. So Tuwa is the metaphor of the Asman La Husna, the beautiful okay. names on Allah.
Yes.
So this Tuwa is the metaphor of, you know, the person who are longing for Allah.
Right.
So this is the metaphor of like a zikr, like Allah, like yeah. Allah.
Yes.
So like when we are organizing this Islamic tea ceremony,
yes.
the team is then can like get this polishing this tea container.
Uh-huh.
And we can use like a metaphorical performances, like, you know, how Muslim are trying to like clean their heart by like remembering Allah, like a zikr.
Mm.
So in this way, and I'm not like trying to create like an additional like a religious like in the practices towards Islam.
Mm.
Like this is like how the could be like a method to introduce like Islamic spirituality to like a non-Japanese audiences.
Mm.
Because in Ottoman times, the Ottoman scholar, they classify the ilm, the knowledges, into two categories.
Right.
One is the ilm qad, and another one is the ilm had.
Mm.
Like ilm qad and ilm had.
Okay.
And qad is like a qawl in the words.
Yes.
So it's the knowledges which can be conveyed through like words or the argument. And ilm had is like a knowledges which cannot be conveyed through the words.
Mm.
It means the knowledges can be like conveyed through the atmosphere.
Right.
Or like a spirituality.
Right.
So this like a Japanese like handicraft, is the practice of this like ilmi hal. Like you don't have to like also like 200 or 300 like volumes like books, or you don't have to like you don't have to like write academic articles, or you don't have to organize like YouTube channels and try to like debate like among like atheists or something.
Mm.
Like it could be also like, in the influencing way, but there is like a hadith which called tahaddis an-nas ala qadri uqulihim. Like tuhaddis an-nas ala qadri uqulihim. Or another riwayah says that haddis an-nas bima ya'rifun. Haddis an-nas bima ya'rifun. And when I observe the Japanese culture, like I see like so many like ilmi had practices.
Right.
Like Japanese, like now I'm into like interviewing like program, so I'm a little bit talkative, but usually I'm so silent. I never talk because I'm Japanese. The Japanese are so quiet.
I hear, yes.
And some people think, you know, Japanese doesn't have any like emotions or heart because they never talk something, but actually it's not. Like we are practicing this ilmi had.
Right.
Like, for example, this during tea ceremony is also the same. Like usually tea master never talk, but they try to like prepare like one cup of tea with like utmost like care.
Yes.
And this is based on this Japanese aesthetics that if you cannot take care of this in one single like a cup of tea with utmost like focus, then you cannot like serve the others.
Right.
Or you cannot serve the loved one. Because everything should be like equal.
Ah.
So this tea ceremony is like this like a process of nurturing this spirituality. to like engaging with like the like handicrafts or art of the like ilmihad.
Yes.
I'm going off.
No, please.
Maybe. Another like tea container I have designed. It's called, can you read? This is also Persian and Turkish. It means hiç. Like nothingness.
Right.
Have you ever visited like Uzbek Tekkisi?
No.
It's in Üsküdar. I'm sure you haven't visited actually. The Uzbek Tekkisi is in the top of the hill of Üsküdar.
Uh-huh.
And this Sufi lodges, and now it's not used for Sufi lodges because you know the whole history of the Turkish Republic.
Sure. Yeah.
But before the modernization, the Ottoman, the Uzbek like traveler, usually dervishes, stop in this Uzbek Tekkisi on the way to the Hajj, and when they stay there, you know, they are practicing like Naqshbandi, like zikr, or like Sufi, or training, or they're using for the education.
Mm.
And I have visited this Uzbek Tekkisi, I think 11 or 12 years ago, when I was still undergraduate, and when I entered the Sufi lodges, there was a calligraphy hang in the entrance, and it said like hitch. And at the time, I didn't know Persian and nor Turkish. I only knew Japanese. But I asked my like a Turkish friend like what is the meaning of this calligraphy, and he told me the story. The hitch, means nothingness, and this nothingness is the purpose of like Sufi training.
Right.
Because he said that like, you know, in the modern education, we are always trying to become like a someone, or like we're trying to get like a something. But in the Sufi training, that we all try to become like nothing, to clean our heart and to serve like only for our Lord.
Mm.
So I am really inspired by story. Like, you know, that memory still like lingers in my heart.
Mm.
So that's why I have designed this like a tea ceremony handicraft. It's called, I call this a hitch natsume. I'm working with the non-Muslim, like a Japanese traditional artisan in Kyoto.
Yes.
Because now the Japanese have become so modernized and also secularized.
Ah.
So like I think most of the Japanese, like they go to like IKEA. You know, do you know IKEA?
IKEA, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because if you are like a believer of the capitalism, like in the furniture in IKEA is like reasonable and also is a well designed. So there is no reason for like more than Japanese to show respect to their like traditional like handicrafts.
Yeah.
So that's why now you know Japanese artisans are like losing job and really struggling.
Really.
But as like a Japanese Muslim, for example, like which one is like more like Islamic? Like buying your furniture and like going to IKEA and buying your furniture, or like going to like traditional like atelier where you can where you know these Japanese traditional artisans are working and also like visiting them and trying to like design like a new like Islamic handicraft to support like a traditional like Japanese cultures.
Yes.
I think the latter one is more like Islamic because like when I'm designing this Japanese tin container, for example, I explained history of the Urujami or the Bursa, and also the history of the Ottoman Empire, and also to the non-Muslim like a Japanese artisan, I also explained the spirituality of Hitch. And but every time I told this story, they never, you know, this Japanese artisan, they never show any discriminations, and they're really interested in hearing the stories. And that was like some people ask me, especially like Muslim like brothers and sisters, ask me that that what would be like the best like a da'wah.
Yes.
And you know, the best way to like teach Islam to the Japanese audiences.
Yeah.
But we have to be really careful because like, you know, now everybody's talking about da'wah.
Yeah.
But in the same time, I feel like a little bit, I found a little bit arrogance in my heart because like that this always talking about da'wah, showing that, you know, that we are believing that we have the enough authorities or that we are capable enough to like teach like Islam to like non-Muslim audiences. But imagine, like, you know, if the Japanese, like, even though they're already interested in that, if the Muslim are trying to teach Muslim what came to Japan with the attitude that we know something and trying to teach that this one is like Islamic, this one is non-Islamic, and this one is halal, and this one is haram, like, people get tired of it because the Japanese are already feeling stressed. Like, 20 people are committing suicide. Like, you know, they're already living the living daily life is a strong pressure, and they don't want the extra pressure.
Yes.
So, but without design, it's like when I this Japanese handicraft, like, and when I'm having a discussion with this Japanese artisan, and I also think that this is also like a da'wah. Humble, like a da'wah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in this way, you know, I am able to talk about like Islamic like spiritualities.
Can I ask you a question? So your basic thesis is that for Islam to be successful, and I'm sure we'll question what is successful, but for Islam to be successful in Japan, Muslims cannot afford to present a culture that is distinct from Japanese culture. In fact, your argument seems to be that, yes, we can rework sometimes or add to Japanese culture, but when we convey Islam, and that conveyance doesn't have to be necessarily through word, but when we convey Islam, we have to be very mindful of Japanese culture. Is your basic argument that da'wah is really impossible or very difficult in Japan without first rooting it in Japanese culture?
I have like some option to introduce like Islam to like Japanese audiences. I also like believe that this cultural activity is really important for Japanese, but also at the same time, that like Islam can be like exotic, and also Muslim can be exotic.
Yeah.
But when you want to like try to introduce Islam, the first we have to know that what the Japanese really want to know, or what the Japanese are like searching, and what is the Japanese like suffering. It means that we have to know like a context. For example, you could wear like an Arabic clothes, or you can speak Arabic, or you can speak like Persians, or you can bring like a biryani to like, you know, to like Japanese society. Yeah. And everything can be exotic, but still, like it should be introduced in a way that, you know, Japanese find some like comfort when they encounter this Islam.
Yeah.
Because as I said, you know, now every year like 20,000 people commit suicide, like 20,000 people, like it's huge.
Right.
And
so there's a discontentment in Japanese society.
Yeah, discontentment. And I can really say like a despair. And also, have you ever watched like a Squid Game in Netflix?
Yes.
Did you watch Squid Game?
We have a South Korean.
You should watch. You're Korean.
For our audience, we have someone from South Korea here today.
So some people think that this is just like, you know, the shallow, like a superficial, like entertaining movie. Yeah. But actually, it's not. It's a reflection of the modern like Korean societies, and also like I feel so many like similar like like a problem.
Yeah, in Japan.
It's also existing in Japan.
So there is like, loneliness.
Loneliness, yeah. And like ugly, like competing. And people ought to always try to like condemn or like judge people without knowing the context. And you remember, you know, when the player make mistake or penalty foul, they immediately they got killed in the squid game.
Right.
Like this is in how the Japanese people feel.
Really.
For example, what is the most missing in the contemporary Japanese society is the culture of the forgiveness or the culture of showing like empathy. Mm. That's why I'm saying like you can bring, for example, like biryani to the Japanese society, but you should not bring biryani to like cancel like the Japanese cultures or like try to like deny like a Japanese cuisine. Yeah. Like for example, if you find like a Japanese who are like, so you can bring this biryani to like a Japanese who are really like suffering with like loneliness or they're suffering.
But I'm struggling to understand when you say bring biryani. Of course, traditionally when Muslims want to do dawah, they don't bring biryani. They bring a message, a message of hope. They bring Quran. They bring Islamic arguments, you know, or Islamic discussion points. If you live in a society which has a vacuum and it's empty, and as you said, there's a lack of forgiveness and a lack of empathy, then surely some of the talking points of Islam would really fit within the vacuum that is felt within Japanese society. Is that not... Do you understand my...
Yes, point? I understand. Yeah. But actually, this is based on my own experiences. Ah. For example, like, you know, when I went to Cairo, like, I already read at least 100 like, books about Islam.
Oh, okay.
And I already have like, enough knowledge, but I'm not yet convinced.
Ah.
Because what I learned from the book and what I see from Egyptian society is so different. Like, I don't see like, any, like, so-called, like, Islamic practices when I first like came to like Cairo.
Yes.
But I also explained the first Ramadan there. Ah. Ramadan.
Yes.
And at the time, you know, I was in the daytime, I studied like, Arabic in the language school.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, I'm going back to my like shakka, you know, the apartment.
Mm.
And you know, like bawab, you know, the gatekeeper in Egypt. So,
yes.
So there was like a bawab in my apartment where I was living.
Yeah.
And at the time, there was already like after like Maghrib.
Mm.
So you know, this gatekeeper was having his like iftar,
mm.
but he was eating like only like one cucumber, like one cucumber and one water.
Wow.
Because he was living a really decent life.
Yeah.
But at the time, still non-Muslim. But when I came back to the apartment, and when this Bawab like saw me, and I saw him, he immediately you know, gave his like a cucumber, like a last remaining cucumber, like to me without any hesitation.
Mm.
And at that time, you know, I am convinced that there are the people who are really believing like Islam.
Mm.
They will practice in Islam.
Great.
So this is why I'm talking about this biryani, like because some people think that Islam, you know, that Islam can only introduce like correctly.
Mm.
Through like a words at first, and then you know they will start practices.
Mm.
But in my case, first I still remember that taste of cucumber. Like it's not tasty at all. It was hideous. But still, you know, I never had such a sweet cucumber in my whole life because like, it contains like a taste of like ihsan. So this is why I'm talking about in the power of like ilmihad, like ilmihad in an atmosphere.
Yes.
Because he put his dua into this like humble like a cucumber.
Okay, so. So your original discussion was about trying to bring Islam in line with or at least attuned to aspects of traditional or reviving even because maybe the younger population have lost connection with some of these old traditions. So reviving these old traditions but bringing an Islamic veneer to it or an Islamic part to it.
Mm.
But at the same time, I find in the West, especially amongst British people, so I'm talking now from a British experience, a lot of non-Muslims, they come to Islam because they feel Islamic values. So as you said, the atmosphere of Islam, but they feel those Islamic values, not just in observing Islamic texts, but through observing Islamic cultures.
Mm.
So the very fact that outside of the masajid, you have got Muslims who are very close to one another and they hug one another and they're very relatable and they try to share in each other's problems, that softens them to Islam. Or, for example, our brother here who's from Korea, you know, he saw the way in which Muslims, they view gender roles, and they observe the role of a man and his responsibility and the role of women, and how Islam, you know, builds in a type of structure in society that is in line with your fitrah, right? So these values come from, I suppose my question is, for the ordinary Japanese person, if he was to observe or she was to observe Islam and Islamic practice and even Muslim cultures, wouldn't that endear them towards Islam?
Wouldn't
that bring them closer to Islam?
I think so. But as I said, I think that right now, the most thing that in Japanese one is like in the spirit of forgiveness. So you don't have to show the full package of Islamic cultures.
Right.
Just show like one, like a tiny practice of forgiveness that could be like convincing enough for Japanese to embrace Islam. Right. This is what I feel.
Yeah.
But as for going back to this culture of product, like as I said, if you are just like a believer of the capitalism, there's no reason for Japanese to buy like traditional handicraft. But for the Muslim, for the Muslim, we have a reason to show respect to the Japanese traditional cultures. For example, now today, you know, I wear this traditional Japanese clothes called kimono.
Kimono. Yeah.
I believe like this is so Islamic.
Yes.
Because it covers like a body line.
Yeah.
And I think that this is more Islamic, like a modern, like a suits, like Western suits, or like a tight like t-shirts and jeans.
Like fisting. Yes.
So it means like Muslims have more like a stronger reason to wear this Japanese like a kimono.
Yes, yeah.
And remember, like, you know, for example, like my like Japanese Muslim like brother in friend innocently asked me why I'm wearing like infidel clothes.
Yeah.
But I studied a history of kimono after that. And do you know that these like inner like a shirt when we wear the over the kimono?
Okay.
And the name of this inner kimono is called juban. Juban.
Okay.
It's from Arabic.
Oh.
Can you guess which word? Like juban. Juban. Juba.
Juba.
Juba, yes.
Sorry, I'm a bit slow.
Yes. No, it's tougher than that.
Yeah.
So actually, it's originally Arabic clothes.
How does it? Explain the etymology.
So in the 14th century, 15th century, Japanese merchant bought juba from, I think, the merchant from the Portuguese.
Oh.
And they had a connection with the Andalus. So they also bring like Muslim clothes.
Yes.
And there's no strong historical records, but some of the studies show that, you know, Japanese merchants, you know, they love the beauty of the juba so much.
Yeah.
So they started to wear this juba as like inner like a kimono.
Ah.
And still, and this juban is like Japanese like Japanese trans accent of the juba. So when we wearing this kimono, actually the Japanese are wearing a half Arab and half Japanese cultures.
Do the Japanese generally understand this, or it's not common?
I mean, when they Google the juban, it's there.
It's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's on Wikipedia. Yes. So in this way, when I'm talking about the Japanese cultures, this Japanese culture is not a pure Japanese culture. This Japanese culture is also like a reflection of like diversity of Japanese societies. Yeah. And this Islamic like handicraft is the same. Like, if you are just like ordinary Japanese, like going to IKEA is more like reasonable, or rational even.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you have Japanese Muslim, and if you really think that, you know, this Tawheed is like a colorless, like a life-giving, like inspiring water, which really reflects, you know, the color of the indigenous like cultures, like only like a Japanese Muslim or like Muslims have a reason to show respect and reason to revive, you know, the beauty of the Japanese cultures. So this is why I think that I'm not trying to like bring like something new to like a Japanese community. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to like help, you know, the Japanese like society to remember the true beauty of Japanese culture. And also the same way that why I'm doing this, like why I'm introducing this Japanese Islamic culture to like a Muslim community, like outside of Japan, like in Istanbul or in London, or to the American like Muslim communities.
Yeah.
Because now we have like more and more like Islamic like discourse, but we have like less and less like Islamic cultures. Like now we have surrounded like too many like words who are trying to arguing about like Islam, who are trying to like prove the correctness of Islam. But now in this like modern time, is that we don't have enough time to contemplate the spirituality of like Islam. And when it comes, for example, the cultures, the, in the Western language, I searched some of the dictionaries said that the opposite word of the, you know, the culture in the Western language is the nature. So nature versus like a cultures.
Right.
So that's why that when you visited, when we visit like a modern like a garden in Paris or the UK, you know, the garden, so garden is like so like artificial, and it has like symmetric pattern because this is how the Western Western philosophy or Western aesthetic think about the culture. It means like using like a manpower to control like over like nature. But when it comes to the East Asian language, I think it's also the same in Korean and also Chinese. The opposite word of the culture, I mean bunka, is called buka. Buka, and both words means trying to teach the people like adab, like etiquette, trying to like discipline like people. But buka, you know, the opposite word of culture is trying to like discipline people with using power and the fear. And it's bunka. Bunka is also like they're trying to teach the etiquette to the people without using the power or without using the authorities. And in some ways, like this practice is, I believe that this is the true. I believe that this is the true practice of the like, bunka, you know, the culture in the East Asian sense. That without using any like soft power, which is supported by like a certain nation state, or without using any like authority. To try to like prove the correctness of something, and I'm just like giving you know atmosphere, the places, you know, so that the people you know, can contemplate what the meaning of the Islam.
So, do you see yourself as an informal diplomat for Japanese culture?
No, I never thought because like I don't know, I don't like the word like diplomat because
or someone who's who's part of the soft power drive of Japan.
So the reason why I'm saying is that you know now usually like, many people there are so many people who are trying to like prove themselves or trying to become like a representative of someone especially in the YouTube or TikTok you know there are so many like you know the Muslim brothers and sisters try to convey like a correct message of Islam but me myself you know I know my limit I'm still like 33 years old and I'm not like Insan Kamil or like a Mursid like a Kamil like you know, I mean I'm not perfect like a religious leader or something. Yes, like I'm designing all this culture to introduce like Islamic spirituality to the Japanese audiences and also Muslim audiences. But before everything, all these handicrafts are for me. Like in the, this is like a method for me to contemplate about Islam.
Right.
And this is actually a reflection of all my memory. Yes. For example, like this calligraphy is the this art is called Turkish marbling, Ebru.
Yes.
And this one is a Chinese scroll.
Okay.
So this is like integration of the Chinese culture and like a Turkish culture. And this one, this flower is called Hyacinth.
Yes.
In Turkish, we call Sumbul. And I use his hanging scroll in my like in Japanese tea ceremony, like a workshop.
Yes.
Because usually in the traditional Japanese tea room, the tea master always like a hanging scroll.
Just but, one scroll.
Yeah, one scroll.
Yeah.
But usually this hanging, so this like Chinese character is a quotation from like Zen Buddhism like textbooks. So we call like Zengo, like Zen words. So this is how you know, tea artists are trying to introduce like Zen words.
Right.
But since I'm Muslim, you know, I feel a little bit, I don't know, the awkward when I try always like see these Zen words.
Yes.
And I was imagining, you know, what if that we, like Japanese Muslim artists, can create our own like hanging scroll to introduce Islamic spirituality.
Yeah.
So the reason why I put this the picture of the high thing is the, do you know the story of Sumbul Efendi? Sumbul Efendi.
So this is a Turkish.
Yeah, he's a Turkish Sufi master. So the story of the Sumbul Efendi is that his master, one day his master ask his students to bring the most beautiful flower in this dunya, to bring the most beautiful flower in this dunya. And one student bring the rose, and another student bring like a tulip, another bring like the fancy, like beautiful like a flower. But only the Sumbul Efendi brought a little like a withered, you know, the old, you know, with the flower, the hyacinth, which is about to die. And the master got curious and asked, you know, the Sumbre Effendi, how come you brought this like a bit like ugly-ish, like a flows, flower? And the Sumbre Effendi answered, I went to the field and I observed, you know, the flower, but the living flowers, they are all like busy with like longing for Allah, like doing the zikr towards Allah. And I didn't harm their life, but I found like one like hyacinth, like which was about to like die.
Mm.
So that's I have brought this like a hyacinth, you know, to show like a mercy of the Allah. And this like master of Sumbre Effendi said that this is exactly the answer that I was waiting, because this was like a test. Like he asked your students like bring the most beautiful flower in this earth, but according to the perspective of Allah, like everything is beautiful.
True.
That everything was created equal. And what we can do is not choosing which flower is beautiful and which flower is ugly, or not judging which flower is like more beautiful.
Yes.
But bring this like rahmah of Allah in this dunya to show the equality of the all creation. Like this. So
yeah.
when I put this like this hanging scroll in my workshop, like I am able to like introduce like a story of the Sumbre Effendi to like Muslim audiences and non-Muslim audiences. And right now in Turkey, it's quite unfortunate that this Ottoman Empire has like so rich, so beautiful like tasawwuf culture, but most of the young generation, they don't know much about their own culture, their own heritage.
Right.
And something they feel that, you know, this like talking about tasawwuf or talking about Islam is too political or too ideological. And something they feel ashamed that, you know, they are grown up in this like a conservative like a background.
Yes.
But I'm encouraging, especially like young Turkish like people, that like studying about Ottoman culture is cool. Studying about the Ottoman science is cool.
Yes.
You know, this Ottoman culture is like beautiful.
Yeah.
And also like this Ottoman culture is not like fixed culture, which you can bring like this whole package of the Ottoman culture everywhere and stay like and it stays like as like a Turkish form.
Yeah.
Like this Ottoman culture itself is also like water of like Tawheed.
Yes,
it has like a Turkish like a sense or Turkish like a color, but when it reached to like Japan or Korea or any region, it also give like a life giving energy to like indigenous soil. To revive the beauty of the like local cultures.
Mm.
For example, that when I'm showing this like a hanging scroll to the Japanese audiences, I'm not trying to prove like a beauty of Islamic cultures.
Yeah.
Like I'm just using this as like a vehicle to talk like what would be like a common like spiritual ground like between Japanese culture and Islam and also Islamic culture.
And so, have you conducted your tea ceremony in Japan?
Yes.
You had scrolls on the wall which reflected an Islamicate culture.
Yes, at the time I haven't designed this hanging scroll. I just showed the concept art of my hanging scroll. But I organized this Islamicate tea workshop at Tokyo Jami.
Yeah,
and this Tokyo like Jami is built by the Turkish like Diyanet, the Ministry of Religious Affairs.
Yes,
and in this like Islamicate tea workshop, I saw the second generation like Japanese Muslim and also non-Muslim Japanese came. And before I organized this workshop, I was really afraid. Maybe, you know, some Muslims feel uncomfortable and they may throw stone at me because I'm designing so like bid'ah things.
Yes.
But I'm really surprised that participants really enjoyed it, especially when I emphasized the point that, you know, that this tradition... showing respect to the traditional culture is not that just like following the traditional blindly, but trying to bring the new creativity to traditional cultures.
How much do young Japanese people today learn about traditional Japanese culture, like the tea ceremony?
I think so few. Like,
it's a dying art.
Yeah, it might be like less than 30 or 20%. But yet, there are so many Japanese who... So, actually, on the ideological aspect, the Japanese may look really like atheist and really like modern.
Yeah. Quite westernized.
Like westernized like people.
Yeah.
But on a practical level, I can clearly say that Japanese are really like religious and also showing respect for traditions. For example, like In Japan, not only the big cities, but in the small cities where my hometown, there are like lots of traditional like dojo.
Okay.
You know, the Japanese like martial art.
Yeah.
This martial art like developed like through engaging with like Zen Buddhism and Shinto like cultures.
Right.
So in this way, they're still like practicing the like cultural aspect, their own like traditional like cultures.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, for example, like Muslims, for example, do you know Kung Fu, like Kung Fu? You know, Kung Fu Pandas, Kung Fu.
Yes.
For example, like, most of the Muslims think that this Kung Fu is just like a Kung Fu Panda thing. They're just like for entertainment, just like it's more than like sports.
Yeah.
But if you study about the history of Islam, actually there are so many like Kung Fu school which are developed by Hui Muslim masters.
Really?
Hui Muslim is a martial like artist.
Yeah.
So it was also like Islamic sports. But right now, like how many of the Muslim, not only in Turkey, not only in Japan, not only in China, how many Muslim in the Ummah know that this Kung Fu is an Islamic sport? And these in Malaysia, there is like a martial arts called Puncak Sidat.
Yes.
Sidat, it's Sidat, like it's also martial art.
Yeah.
And this martial art is developed by like Naqshbandi Sufi masters.
Yeah.
But how many of, for example, Naqshbandis in, for example, in Turkey or in the UK, they are like, they know that the Puncak Sidat is the Islamic kids, like martial arts, or they think that this is like the Sufi the education.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you're opening this topic.
No, so can I ask you then, back to young people in Japan, can you tell me what the extent to which there is Islamic conversion? There are Muslims in Japan. I mean, it's a very big country.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of Japanese population are indigenous Muslims?
Indigenous Muslims are so few.
Yeah.
So it is said that 230,000 Muslims are living in Japan right now. Actually, it's a quite huge number already.
Yeah.
But I think more than 80% or even 90% are foreigners.
From where?
Like temporary workers. Living in big cities like Tokyo.
From Fukuoka, so they're from Osaka. Indonesia or from Malaysia.
Majority is like Bengalis from Bangladesh and Pakistan and Indonesians.
Yes.
But right now, we have second generation like Muslims. Like we have like Indonesian Japanese Muslims. We have Pakistani Japanese Muslim and like a Bengali Japanese Muslim.
Yes.
And I believe like this. So as for the population, that we are just like 0.01% of the whole population in Japan. Like we are just super minorities.
Yes.
But I really think that this like ethnic diversity is like really beautiful, and I believe it will bring a new creativity to like Japanese societies.
And do these foreign, because again, your original thesis is that if Islam is to spread in Japan, it has to accommodate, or it has to in a way be mindful of traditional Japanese culture. These Indonesian or Bengali Muslims who are present, do they exhibit the second generation in particular, Japanese traditional culture, or do they have the cultural traits of their forebears, of their forefathers?
I think so. Usually the first generation, like they only like, they are following the culture in the homeland.
Yeah.
And they don't try to get like integrate into the Japanese society.
Yeah.
And the second generation in Japan, I think now they are in transition. So and most of the second generations, you know that some of them try really struggling about their identity. But so this is why, you know, I'm trying to encourage this new second generation, like young Japanese Muslims, that, you know, that being born as, for example, like Pakistani Japanese Muslim is cool.
Yes.
Like being born as, like, for example, Indonesian Japanese Muslim, like cool. It's like beautiful.
Yes.
And then they are the one who bring the new creativity to the Japanese society. For example, this Japanese tea ceremony, like I am the student of Japanese tea ceremony. I think this tea ceremony culture is really beautiful.
Yes.
But still, this culture is in stagnation. Like most of these tea artists, they see this culture as like kind of like authorities, which doesn't accept any like Aryan like element anymore.
Mm.
But if you see the history of Japanese tea ceremony, this tradition, it's about like openness. Tradition is about like the flexibleness, that how much you can embrace the Aryan culture and try to like integrate within your own context and try to create new. For example, this natsume means dates. It's not like Japanese fruits.
Yeah.
And right now, many people think, for example, this Japanese tea ceremony is like Zen culture. So that's why I remember you mentioned that you bring like Zen to this
world. Yeah, maybe I was the wrong word.
No, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Right now, it's correct. Now, this modern Japanese tea ceremony is heavily influenced by Zen Buddhist culture. Why? Because Zen Buddhists bring the Zen interpretation to this Japanese tea ceremony. So yes. That's why it became like Zen Buddhist, Zen right. Buddhism, like a culture
so
practice.
So by you bringing an Islamic interpretation to the ceremony, you've taken away the link to Buddhism.
Yes, because if you study the early period of this Japanese tea ceremony, there was like a Catholic tea ceremony too.
Really?
A Catholic tea ceremony. Like Japanese, like Catholic, like samurais, they were using this Japanese tea ceremony as like a vehicle to introduce like Christianity.
So that's what Japanese you're doing now. You're bringing Islam through the tea ceremony.
Yes.
They would have brought Christianity or Catholicism through the tea ceremony.
Yes. So in the end, this is just like a tea set.
Yeah.
Like we can talk about so this tea set is nothing different than this iPad. For example, this iPad Islamic or non-Islamic?
Yeah.
But some people say that this is like un-Islamic because this is made by the Apple.
Yes.
And Apple is a manifestation of the American Empire.
Yes.
And this like tea set, and this is not a manifestation of the Japanese Empire or something. This is like just one traditional and like handicraft.
Yeah.
So in the end, like what is important is that what kind of intention you have and what kind of vocabulary that you use for the people who you access with.
Yeah. But I suppose from an Islamic perspective, and forgive me, I haven't really studied this in a very deep way, but from an Islamic perspective, my understanding is that, of course, Islam did not come to replace cultures, but certainly Islam would find it problematic to integrate cultures which have very strong roots that come from other religious belief systems. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we may accept traditional Arab clothing, or we may accept traditional, you know, shalwar kameez in the Pakistan or Indian context. Mm. But certainly, you know, those things which are linked to Hinduism, one would need to reject.
Mm-hmm.
So in your thinking, in the way you view Japanese culture, there is sufficient separation between what you're doing and these other religious belief systems.
So I am carefully like observing like Japanese culture,
but
maybe like there are some Japanese like Muslim might or non-Muslim like Japanese might make mistake by practicing with unpreasable like practices when trying to create Japanese culture.
Yes.
But in the end, we must not forget that this learning Islam is not like downloading like data, or just like, you know, just that. We cannot become Muslim just watching like YouTube like channels or like just like downloading like PDF files or Islamic books. Like,
yeah.
For example, when we observe the history of Islamization in the world, usually in one region, when they become under the Islamic law of the Islamic Empire, at least it takes like 300 or 400 years for the citizen living there and the majority of citizens will embrace Islam.
Yes.
Like it takes at least 300 years or 400 years.
Yeah.
And in Japan, we only have 100 years. But some people, they are so impatient. You know, they want to see the result as soon as possible.
Yes.
But we have to, but one of the important messages of, you know, Islam is like tawakkul. You know, tawakkul, like the Indian and Allah will decide when is the best timing for the Japanese society to embrace Islam? When is best time for the individual to like contemplate and about like Islam? For example, when it comes to the case in Indonesia, do you know this shadow puppet art in Indonesia?
No.
Do you know the legend of the Wali Sangho in Indonesia?
I'm
so Indonesian people believe that 9 wali in Audia from the outside of Indonesia. It came the archipelago and introduce Islam to like non-Muslim like Java like audiences.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's one wali called Sunan Kalijaga. Sunan Kalijaga, he used this shadow puppet, right? Which was like actually the Hindu culture. But he used this shadow puppet to teach Siratu Nabawiya to like Hindu audiences. And maybe if we only see this this event as an individual event, and then you can claim that this Sunan Kalijaga is like wrongdoing, like a Muslim, but he's wali. And if he's from Awliya, he's a Sufi saint, and not only the Sufi saint, he's also like alim, the Islamic scholar.
Right.
Then it means like there's a hikmah in it. There's a hikmah that Sunan Kalijaga, instead of like authoring the books, or instead of like preaching with the words, you know, there's a hikmah that he chose this like a shadow puppet play to teach Islam to Islam, to like Hindi audiences. And right now we see the Indonesia. The Indonesia is now has a large Muslim population in the world.
Yes.
So it means within this like 400 years or 500 years, like this, it's obvious that Sunan Kalijaga like brought like best seed to like into the Indonesian like society.
Yeah.
And now the Indonesian, you know, they're also doing the tafsir with the Indonesian languages.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
For example, Nahdlatul Ulama, Muhammadiyah, like they build like one of the best social like institutions.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're doing the really big like Muslim social like services. So yeah, like I think the Japanese societies also should experience the same process. My intention is that I want to make this Islamization process as slow as possible.
Mm.
Like as slow as possible. Mm. Like not just like 1 second or 15 seconds, like this like TikTok things.
Yes.
I want to give them like enough time
yes.
to like understand like real like beauty of like Islam.
Isn't there a danger then that generations will pass who don't get to embrace Islam and ultimately do not find salvation from Islam and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Oh, in Japanese society?
In Japanese society. If it's so slow and it takes a long time.
Yeah, I think this is what the concern is in the modern
patience of
Muslim
preacher. Yes.
Yeah. But in the end, like, in it, only Allah will decide what is the best timing.
Okay.
Like no matter how we try to like teach Islam, like in the end we're just like human being. And for example, like maybe, and also suppose that there was like a Japanese guy that who was like suffering for like loneliness, who was suffering from, and who also who he decided like who could like commit suicide.
Mm.
But maybe at the time he only saw one, I don't know, like beautiful like a Turkish marbling like this.
Mm.
Or like an Islamic calligraphy, and maybe this like calligraphy brought like comfort his life, and maybe that like, he gave up in a commit suicide, but yet he did become Muslim. But still, like maybe still, like he decided like live his life, and maybe like every time he back from home, maybe he was like watching this like a Turkish like beautiful like a marbling, and are we going to like judge him that in he that he was not like he decided not to become Muslim? Because maybe in his life, this only like this Turkish marbling might be the only celebration he found in his life. And if Muslim judge him that he is like practicing Islam in a really superficial way, or like he is like not strong enough or he's smart enough to become Muslim, then what would this man feel? That he will feel like extra stress.
Yes.
And what kind of an image that he will have in mind? So what I would say is that also I know that, you know, I myself is not like in the best version of Muslim. So I know that all my cultural activities is like not the best version of Islamic culture. But I think that what is most missing in this contemporary Muslim society is one is tawakkul and also like a sabr.
Dr. Nayaka, can I ask you about these books that you've translated, I think, into Japanese?
Yes, two of my books.
Please talk us through these.
So this is my first book, which is probably in Japan. This is a Japanese translation of the Abu Abdurrahman Salami's Futuwa. You know, the Futuwa, the Islamic
chivalry.
The English is translated chivalry.
Yes.
But I have introduced this Futuwa as the like, Islamic like Bushido, like samurai like philosophy.
Yes.
And especially in this Futuwa is talk about the importance of the altruism, you know, the Isar, and also the importance of forgiveness, even showing empathy. And this is what I found it was missing in contemporary Japanese societies.
Yes.
So I thought this book would be like valuable for the Japanese readers, not only to know about the beauty of Islam, but also remember, you know, the beauty of Japanese cultures.
Great.
And this is, I was also part of a member of the Japanese translation of the Mukhtasar Ihya'ul-Muddin. This is the abridged version, which is made by either like Ghazali himself or his brother. And I was responsible for translating the fourth part.
So this is the abridged version.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a complete, this is just the fourth part.
Oh, this is an old part.
The complete.
It's a Mukhtasar, complete. Yeah. Version, but we are so surprised that it's a Mukhtasar, abridged version.
Yeah,
but it's too big.
It's big, yes.
It's Muslim.
Yeah,
yeah. It's more than 400. Yeah, it's more, almost like 500 pages.
Okay.
It's really expensive. So I don't know who's going to buy it, but if you can buy it, it's
great. Yeah, that's great.
But this is, but even this translating the Islamic classic into our like, vernacular language is really like, a beautiful process. But yes. This is how we are like reconstructing the Japanese like language into like Islamic like Japanese like language. Mm. Sometimes we borrow traditional Islamic Chinese terminology to translate. Translate this if you are not thing.
Mm.
And another one, this is not my book, but this book is written by the Professor Mujahid Matsuyama, and now he's an associate professor in the University of Tokyo, practicing Muslim. And this is a translation of the Akaid Nasafiya, Japanese translation, but you know, the Akaid Nasafiya itself is a really small book, just really tiny.
Yes.
Yeah, but so this, how much is mutton? We'll just check. This is the introduction. Oh, this is the mutton, the original Akai Nasafiya.
Yes.
And this is commentary.
Oh.
So commentary.
Yes.
That it has 400 pages. So it's a it includes a 300 page like Japanese commentary, you know, shara.
Yes.
Of the Akai Nasafiya. Wow.
Yes.
And this is really important for the other like, Japanese Muslim to know that this, yes, the Japanese Muslim community is still new and we are in the infant stage, but there are some really productive and really amazingly Japanese like Muslim scholar.
Yeah.
For example, the Professor Mujahid is a good example that he was able to write a 300 page of commentary of the Akai Nasafiya here, like, using like more than 1000s of you know traditional like shiro. The commentaries of Akai Nasafiya. Yeah. So it's very like Japanese community also have like a new bringing the new creativity not only for Japanese society but also in the Ummah. And another book this day is that I'm also translating the Japanese classics to like a Turkish language.
Right.
So this is how I'm trying to introduce like a traditional Japanese culture to the Turkish audiences.
This is a book of fiction.
So this book of like a no theater play. Ah. Do you know no theater play?
Yeah.
It's like the player is using like a mask and ready to perform.
Okay.
Like a theater.
A theater play, yes. Yeah.
It's like a traditional like a Japanese version of like Shakespeare, I guess.
Right, right.
But reason I'm doing this project is that without Istanbul, now I think the last 5 or 10 years, like we have like many like for example American Muslims and the European Muslim like coming to Istanbul and try to settle here.
Yes.
But there's so few I found that so few of them are trying to work with like a Turkish like a people. For example, like I don't know how many people are trying to, for example, like study Turkish languages or like speak Turkish.
Yeah, true.
Like, for example, like many people live in Istanbul.
Yes.
But they always like hang out with the like English speakers.
Yes.
And I felt this is sort of like, it makes me sad.
Mm.
Also like disappointing.
Yes.
Because in the end, we live in Istanbul.
Yes.
And the fact that we are able to live here is like thanks for like Turkish citizens.
Yeah.
And also like, right now, especially like academicians or intellectuals, like we are trying to be, we're trying to show ourselves like a global, like intellectual, a global figure.
Mm.
But it also, I'm not judging it. Actually, I'm part of judging it. but also, it's really important for us to like stay in like a local or like serve to like local like audiences.
Yes,
and not only like introducing like Japanese cultures. For example, the reason I'm designing is a Japanese handicraft, which is inspired by Turkish culture. It's like this is how I'm trying to show respect to like Turkish cultures and Turkey and also like Turkish like citizens.
Yeah.
For example, like I found that some foreigners, you know, they saying that they're only like praising so-called like religiously practicing like a Turkish citizen and sometimes they're like condemning like a secular like a Turkish citizen.
Mm.
But this, as I said, this is also like the story of Sumbul Efendi. Like, you know, actually every part of the society has its own meaning.
Mm.
And Turkey is also the same. Like there is no like present history or unpresent like history in Turkish society. Every like step has a like a meaning.
Yes.
And now, especially foreigners living in Istanbul, like us, we are also now the part of the history of the Turkey Republic. Whether you believe in the format of like a nation state, like or not,
mm.
and Remember, like some of my students, like, you know, they complain that, you know, these like English speaking like Muslims, you know, they're just like surviving here, but they are like living with them.
Well, on that subject, I had Thomas Abdul Qadir, who spoke to me about migrants, Muslim Western migrants who come to Turkey. There is an impression, maybe incorrect, amongst amongst non-Turks that Turkish culture is not as open, maybe, to foreigners as maybe Arab culture is. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's an overgeneralization, but you are someone from Japan.
Yeah.
You've been to Egypt. Yeah. You interacted with Egyptian culture.
Yeah.
Do you find that maybe in a way Turkish culture is quite similar in that sense to Japanese culture, which is a little bit more, you know, less, how do I phrase this in a, I'm not saying that less embracing is the wrong word, but they're less embracing maybe of outsiders or less warm to outsiders as maybe Arab culture is? I mean, is that a, or am I overgeneralizing here?
I think all the people who live in the nation states that are racist and also like they're not open to the different cultures.
Right.
But when it comes to like Turkish cultures or like Turkish citizens, like I think with some of the, when, not only the Turkish culture, but when I take an example of Ottoman cultures, like do you know the Çini sanat, like Çintamani, like sanat?
No.
Like, oh, I should have brought the picture as well. These like, it's like a traditional pattern. Which were used in the like a Turkish art, which has like a three like a circle.
Okay.
And now the many Turkish people think that this is like a Turkish art, but that pattern is not Turkish. It's come from like a Buddhist art.
Mm.
And this like a three like a circle represent like a special like stone like which used by like a divine or a spiritual like being which believe in like Buddhism to show the like the magnificence of like a divine, like a being.
Yeah.
And some of the Turkish artists, like they like this pattern, so they observe into like a Turkish art.
Mm.
And so like some people may feel that Turkish people might not be open to different cultures. And there are some Turkish people who are acting like that.
Yeah.
But in the end, I can say that this is just because that we are behaving in that way. So this is just a reflection of our behavior.
Yes.
So if we can behave like openly, the Turkish people are really open. And they're really like the guest. You know, they like to know the different cultures.
Yeah.
And you know, like for example, like if you want to know that really like Turkish people are like open or not, like you have to study that more than saying Merhaba Nasrısınız or Ben İyiyim Teşekkür Ederim. Like you have to study Turkish in a really deep sense.
Of course, yes.
And you have to make a really like deep discussion with the Turkish students.
Yes.
And maybe there are some uncomfortable like Turkish like uncles like amcas who try to like alienize us.
Yeah.
But now I'm working in like a university in Turkey.
Yes.
And I know many like Turkish like young people and they're really like creative and they're really open to different cultures.
Yeah.
And when I see like especially in Istanbul, and there are so many like African students and Arab students and Pakistani students, they're all like coming to Turkey and study in Istanbul.
Mm.
And if they are not that open, then what is this reality?
Mm.
And in the end, like we are also living in Istanbul and we are not through stones.
Mm.
And during the COVID, actually, there was the unpleasant event too. Like, you know, people think me I'm Chinese. And some people that call me, they're going back to their own country.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
But again, like, we must know that not everyone is so strong enough to embrace the diversities.
Yes.
Or face the like challenges in this dunya.
Yeah.
So right now in Turkey, you know, they're all facing, many people, they're facing like economic like challenges. And also, you know, they are... not in the whole life, you know, they're having like political like instabilities, and sometimes they are not good at explaining their emotions in the correct words.
Yes.
And in the end, they're also like human being. But I see, you know, this Turkish people is like most like warm and most like welcoming like citizen and compared with any society, at least from Japanese. And they are more open.
Mm.
Like you don't know how racist Japanese were when it comes to like when it comes to the foreigners.
Yeah.
So and And all these new handicraft I designed, this like Natsume's or this Ebru's and other like digital art or this Futu like logo design.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is a reflection of my beautiful memory, you know, when I engage with like my like, Turkish like students.
Mm. Yeah.
So my answer is that if you think that like, Turkish are not open, that it's just a reflection that you are not open.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now that's a, I think that's a very good point. And do you see yourself, Dr. Naoki, do you see yourself to be someone who's going to remain in Turkey for the foreseeable future, or do you wish to return back to Japan?
Oh, me, myself?
Yeah.
I also do tawakkul on these issues. But as for myself, example, do you know convenience store? It's like a famous store in Japan. I love Japanese convenience store, but you can buy everything.
Yes.
You can buy like rice ball. You can read like a shonen manga comic book there.
Yeah.
And you can buy like a traditional like Japanese sweet. And also you can pay your own bills in a convenience store. You can do everything.
Okay.
It's so convenience store.
Right? That's right, yes.
That I miss convenience store when I was in Istanbul.
Yeah.
But this is just my joke. But.
Yeah.
But when I think about the Japanese Muslim community, I think it's really important for someone who had a connection outside of Japan. Because if I know that, you know, the strong Islamophobia will come in a really new future in Japanese society, because I already see some kind of coming. Because, for example, when I my new book will come out in August, inshallah, in Amazon, and I'm always, and every day I'm checking the Amazon ranking because I'm really scared if my book, you know, will sell enough.
Yeah.
But and usually the top three are like it's like are like books which is based on really like in serious like discrimination.
Yeah.
Against like Islam,
really.
For example, that book is saying that, you know, the Quran is like teaching to like kill like infidels. So that's why, you know, when the Muslim come to Japan, it's exactly what gonna happen. Right. And it's like a bestseller in Japan.
Seriously?
Bestseller,
right?
And right now we don't have like strong influence of this book, but I think within 10 or 20 years that we're gonna see the result. We're gonna face the consequences.
Really.
And at that time, but as I said, right now in Japan we have so many like second generation Muslims, and we even have third generation Muslims. And not only the Japanese convert, we have like Pakistani Japanese, Indonesian Japanese, Egyptian Japanese, Palestinian Japanese, and they're all Japanese.
Mm.
You know, they are all our sisters and brothers, and they're also like Japanese citizens.
Yes.
But maybe like it might be too difficult for us to survive in the Japanese society. Then also like other like brothers and sisters, we may also have to like choose to like make hijrah,
really,
to like other like Muslim countries.
Yes.
But at other time,
but even
I think,
for you,
I think, yeah,
even for someone who is born in Japan, you may contemplate, it may be for people who are converts to Islam may find it so inhospitable, they may need to leave
right
Japan.
Right now, we don't see any like difficulties.
No,
but
in the future. Yeah.
Yeah, in the future, like maybe I am also considered as like civilizational like traitor.
Wow.
So I think for them, you know, to prepare for that time, like someone should be like live in a Muslim country, to keep the connection with other ummah, so that, you know, this Japanese Muslim don't feel like loneliness or don't like lose hope.
Yeah.
Because this is why I'm encouraging the other like some of my Japanese like Muslim brother and sister to come to Istanbul.
Oh,
because here like not only like surviving as a Muslim, but you know we can like study some things.
Yes.
And every day you go on the street, you can study history of the Ottoman Empire, and also you can study like classical Arabic. You can also study Kalam and Fiqh and Tasawwuf.
Yes.
Then these things doesn't exist in Japan. These are great opportunities. And
am I right in saying that unlike say China, China has a long history with Islam, and you know there was a period where you had Chinese people in the Ming Dynasty who converted to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese relationship with Islam is not that long. Why is that? Is that because Japanese culture historically was very isolationist, and it had a period where it's until European colonialism that it stayed away from the world? Why didn't Islam, because Indonesia is not so far away, why didn't Islam come to Japan earlier on?
We haven't found the answer, but I think the biggest factor is that, you know, this Edo shogunate, like a government, they practiced this isolation policy.
Yes.
For 300 years.
300 years.
From the 16th century to the 19th century. Yes. Like, I think that was a huge, like, has a huge impact.
So what was the implication of his isolationist policy?
But this isolation policy, this the Tokugawa shogunate, Tokugawa, like, samurai, like, shogunate, like, they prohibited the foreigner, you know, to come to, like, Japan.
Yeah.
So they only have, like, limited, like, you know, interaction with the foreigners. They only allowed to stay in the small, like, a district in, like, Nagasaki and other cities.
Okay.
So I think this is about one of the biggest reason why Islam hadn't, like, reached to the Japan.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Well, you know, I think we've had a very interesting discussion today. So do you see Japanese Islam growing in the next few years? Is that your, you know, with all of what you've said about how this will be a slow process, but do you see that Islam will grow organically in Japanese society?
Yes, inshallah. But another important thing is that it's not Islam, like, Muslim will grow. And the Muslim who practicing Islam will grow.
Yes.
The number of the Muslim who practicing Islam will grow in Japanese society, because Islam cannot be like a fight in this sentence. Because Islam is just like a din.
Yes.
But what we see in this dunya is that people who are believing in Islam.
Yes.
But on this issue, I'm quite very optimistic. Yes. Because, like, whenever I visited, you know, I go back to, like, Japan.
Yeah.
I see, like, new Muslim there. Really? For example, in Tokyo Jami too, like, every week we have, like, a new Muslim, like, a converts.
No way.
And also, like, the second generation, they are so creative. And they're really cool.
Yeah.
Like, they are cooler than us.
Yes.
Like, look at our uncles. Like, you know, we are losing our energy.
So these are Bengali second generation.
Yeah, Bengali, like, Japanese, Pakistani Japanese, Indonesian Japanese. Yeah. For example, in Tokyo Jami, there is really cool, like, Indonesian Japanese guy who is leading the young Muslim club. So this young Muslim club is also, many, like, non-Muslim Japanese who are interested in Islam is also joining.
Yeah.
And also, I know some, like, Pakistani, like, Japanese who are studying in other countries and who are trying to, like, trying to help the next generations. But one of the important things for us is that eventually, like, we Muslim, I'm sure we become the majority of this dunya. But the being majority is not important. Mm-hmm. The important thing is that how much, like, we are working not only for ourselves, but working for the others. You know, how much that we can be, like, a manifestation of, you know, altruism, the ESR.
Right.
So in this sense, you know, I really hope that, you know, I can also, like, vehicle to, like, investing on the, like, next generations, and not showing myself as, like, a best version of like something, or like, you know, representatives or ambassador or some things.
Yes.
You know, I want to serve to, like, a Japanese youth, and so that, you know, they can feel, especially the Japanese Muslim, that they can feel that, you know, they are, like, blessed and also, like, loved, not only by Allah, but also, like, Muslim brothers and sisters, so that they feel not lonely.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, like, that we need to work for, like, Ummah. And especially if you live in Istanbul, you know, we need to stay in local. Yes. Like, I know, like, living in a different country is not an easy thing. Like, and there are the me too. Like, every time I work in Istanbul, you know, I feel some of the really, really challenges. But still, you know, I live in Turkey and I have Turkish citizens. I'm not the big, like, believer of the nation state. But as a human being, I love these people. And before judging them or, like, complaining them with a really, like, shallow, like, a comment or perspective, like, first, we need to try ourselves. We need to push ourselves to know about their context and know about history, and try to become, like, one ummah. For example, like, one of the biggest challenges that we are facing in the Muslim academia is that we all try to study Arabic, because it's sacred languages, it's the language of Islam. Yeah. But after that, you know, either they only speak English or Arabic, or if they have, like, a different ethnic background, they only know these ethnic languages to talk to their parents or their families. They usually only know three languages.
Yes.
But for me, like, English and Arabic and Turkish, it has nothing to do with me. Like, I can live my ordinary, like, happy Japanese life without learning, like, English or Arabic or Turkish. Yes. And especially this Turkish. Like, when I come to Turkey, my Turkish is really horrible. And for example, people in the street, they will always make fun of me that I'm speaking so-called Aksaray Turkish. It means, like, broken.
Yes.
Like, horrible Turkish.
Yes.
But still, you know, I push myself to study Turkish. Why? Because I love, you know, spending time with the Turkish citizens. So it's really different. So what I want to say is that we need to show love. towards like people. And also we need to be like self-confident. It means that we keep self-confident enough to expand our own like world. And now I'm reading like Jujutsu Kaisen. Do you know Jujutsu Kaisen?
No.
Shonen manga? Okay,
no.
It's a different topic. It takes another 1 or 2 or 3 hours.
No.
But there is a magical called demand expansion. So this is how, so each of the sorcerer, Jujutsu sorcerer, is like reflecting their own reality to the different world.
Yes.
But this is what the Muslim has to do. Like, you know, this art or engaging with people, like we all need to understand who we are and try to like connect ourselves to the to the others to create like to bring the new creativity to the Muslim society.
Dr. Naoki Yamamoto, Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much. Actually, I bring so many toys, but I didn't have time to introduce them.
We'll take some pictures of them. And
okay, thank you very much.
In fact, I'm fascinated by this fan. Before we go, can you explain?
Oh, can I explain?
Yes, please.
This one is the. This one is also the Chinese Islamic handicraft series,
yes.
Which I started my project.
Yeah.
Can you see this Chinese character?
Yes.
So this is actually classical Chinese Islamic poem written in 18th century by the Chinese Muslim scholar called Liu Zi.
Wow. Okay.
And I have a Chinese fan because there are some like articles or works which introducing the life or the thought of like Liu Zi.
Yes.
But people who are already interested in the topic will buy books or read articles.
Mm.
But when I show this, when I always carry this fan, you know, I can introduce the Islamic heritage in China to not only like Muslim audiences but also non-Muslim audiences in Japan.
Yeah.
And I think this design is really cool.
Yeah. Very
this is
good.
So Asian-ish, like a handicraft.
Yeah.
But the spirituality is based on Islam.
Where can I get one of these, Dr. Yang?
You can buy from me.
Yeah, I would love to. Yes.
Yeah, I have some samples in here. Yeah. It's in Japan, but you can bring.
Wow. Yeah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Please remember to subscribe to our social media and YouTube channels and head over to our website, thinkinmuslim.com, to sign up to my weekly newsletter. Jazakallah khair.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.